Hey guys, what's up?
Hey!
Welcome to another show of the Me's over here at Back Row Super Show.
Yeah, so this is the show where we kind of talk about the media we've been consuming that isn't really in-depth enough for a full episode, but it's still stuff that we've been enjoying.
Yeah, and that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Again, this is Stuart.
This is Zach. So yeah, I guess first off, I went through another Star Wars book.
Nice. Another one.
You
love your Star Wars books.
I do.
Well, whenever you bring it up, we go on tangents.
Well, this is a newer one and it's less tangential because I've already said last week what my feelings on the whole thing, but
yeah.
So it was a Timothy Zahn book called Thrawn.
Okay.
That goes into the background of
Thrawn.
Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah.
I love that Thrawn is now canon again.
Good.
Because he was one of my favorite expanded universe characters.
Yeah.
All he's done really is replace him in time. So like Thrawn now is kind of there at the early stages of the Empire.
Okay.
And interacting with Vader and stuff. Having had interacted with Anakin instead of being later in the timeline, like, after Return of the Jedi. Like, he's just replaced him in time.
Yeah.
Man, no one writes Thrawn like Timothy Zahn.
Yeah.
Because he created him.
Yeah.
I'm
glad that they brought him back, though.
He's such a formidable character.
Yeah.
And he, at least in this book, he's more relatable, I think, because...
Interesting.
Huh. He's still a villain, but nothing he... Like, he's still being shown doing things for the Empire that kind of serve his own goal, and so the way he approaches it is from a good place, if it can be said.
Yeah.
Doing anything for the Empire is from a good place.
Like, I mean, they had their vision, so...
Yeah, like, he's not presented as a bad person.
Yeah.
One of the things that they do and that the way that they present the Empire in this is they cast the Empire as not being friendly to aliens, which is true.
So they're racist, the aliens.
They are racist. Lots of people apparently took that to mean that there were only white people in the Empire, but it's a world with aliens.
But aliens,
so by
yeah.
racist, they mean, no, it's just humans that they care about. They don't care about... And they do go to great lengths in exploring that, because there's some issues that crop up with Thrawn joining the Imperial Navy.
Hmm.
The other book that I went into, since I know you said you have less things.
A couple of things, yeah. I've got some spicy stuff. Maybe it's spicy.
It's another thing I read. It's a comic, Chuck Wendig's run on Turok called Blood Moon.
Oh, nice.
I love Chuck Wendig's writing. He's so fucking gonzo and weird. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, and Turok is like the best media for weird and gonzo.
It really is. Like
Turok, the dinosaur hunter.
So you played the game.
I have played the game.
Did you read any of the comics?
I have not read any of the comics.
Dude, God, I forget who puts it out now. It's one of those offshoot brand, but I want to say maybe Dark Horse, maybe Boom. They have the archive, so you can go way back to Turok's creation.
Jeez.
In the early 50s.
God, I bet that was really weird.
Yeah, dude, because it's not how, like, Tyrannosaurus Rex is there, but it's not structured horizontally like in Jurassic Park. It's like the old way where they're almost standing vertically. And so they look really weird. Like, the dinosaurs and stuff look really weird. But, yeah. So Chuck Wendig's run is much different. Like, rather than having him fighting just dinosaurs, like, he kind of makes the world work like...
But that's what Turok does. He fights dinosaurs.
Well, no, I mean, like, dinosaurs...
he fights dinosaurs.
Well, no, I mean dinosaurs as, like, gigantic beasts and monsters.
Mm.
he basically does kind of a Mario Brothers movie in that, like, the other world that he gets pulled into is one where reptiles and dinosaurs evolved into more anthropomorphic things.
Strange.
Also, these dinosaur people are, like, Nazis. Like, straight-up Nazis.
But who are they Nazis to?
They're Nazis to humans and to half-breeds, which I forget what they're called. But they're the mergings of... Like, the dinosaurs have evolved to a point where humans and dinosaurs can interbreed. And so these beings kind of look halfway between dinosaur and human, like you'd expect.
Yeah.
Whereas the dinosaur people are... They look like dinosaur people, but they have, like, hands and thumbs and stuff. I recommend that Chuck Wendig's Turok Blood Hunt. I don't know if he's writing any more issues of it.
Now, how graphic is it? Is it pretty graphic?
It's very violent.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like you.
I mean, because Turok was a very violent man.
Yeah, no, it's super violent, and okay. But I mean, it's not any grosser than anything else. Like, yeah, it's like old school Savage Dragon. Like, it's, there's blood and guts in it, but it's not like dripping off the page like in some weird like Kevin Eastman zombie comic.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, no, it was fun.
Cool.
So what did you do?
So I ended up playing the new Hearthstone expansion that came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this Witchwood?
No, Witchwood's already said and done.
Oh.
Well, this is a Boomsday project. Like Doomsday, but Boomsday. It's based around one of the iconic characters of Hearthstone, Dr. Boom, who was based off of a character... A side quest of WoW, where you fight this guy called Dr. Boom, who's a goblin.
I was going to guess goblin or gnome. Yeah,
goblin who basically throws bomb robots at you, but it's a super easy quest, I guess. I've never played the quest, but people have said that's super easy quest, and he's a really wacky character. So he made it into a Hearthstone card early on. Cool. When Hearthstone was new, and he became, like, a classic. Everybody ran him in his deck because he was really good.
Yeah.
So now he kind of has, like, an expansion around himself. A lot of the cards are cool. I definitely have been playing with the newer decks. There's a lot more combo decks, unfortunately. Mm. Druid has become, like, a major overpowered class.
So everyone's playing these trashy druid decks?
Yeah, with their combos and stuff like that. Because druid has three different, like, one-turn kill combos, basically. Oh, yeah. And then they have a lot of card tools that allow them to survive the short game. So they can build up armor and stuff like that. So, I do feel like there's some balancing issues that need to take place.
Sure.
But, it's still fun. I still enjoy it. I've been, you know, I put down my $50 for this expansion, so I got my cards and everything.
Are you going to spend more money on extra
boosters? Probably not.
No?
From the Witchwood, I actually saved up a lot of dust, which you can, like... disenchant cards and stuff like that. And any particular card that I want, I can craft it. Like, Dr. Boom became a character card in this expansion.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, I didn't open him, so I just crafted him.
Gotcha.
So I could play this really good warrior deck, which is a lot of fun, which is basically just control warrior. And, I've been climbing up the ladder, trying to get back up to hopefully legendary, and it's been a lot of fun. I think the expansion, the cards that were introduced were very powerful cards compared to the Witchwood.
Okay.
Which is a little bit good, a little bit bad. You can definitely see some power creep, and power creep, basically, for those who don't know, it's when the game is out for so long that people keep on pushing what cards can do or how powerful cards can be.
Right.
They keep on nudging it a little bit higher and higher, making more powerful and powerful cards, where, you know, a card where you think would be powerful isn't that powerful, like, 3 years into the future, because people have just been pushing that limit of how powerful cards can be.
Yeah, like, if... Because I used to play Magic back in the day, not competitively or anything, but just for fun. If you were to take a modern-day Magic deck and put it against my top-tier A-number-one deck from when I was playing in high school, one, if they're even still compatible,
I don't
two, even the modern one would win in a matter of turns.
Yeah.
Like, it would not even be an issue.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah. Which, I can get that's frustrating for people. Especially if they're doing real cards. Whereas Hearthstone, it's a little bit different.
It is, because it's digital cards, and they can make changes to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't really make changes to a physical card once that card's printed.
Right.
It's printed.
Yeah.
You can't, like, switch it up or anything like that. And Blizzard has definitely come out and nerfed cards. They've changed up the meta if it becomes kind of stale and dry.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I can see it in the near future. It being kind of dry with all these druids doing their particular combos and stuff like that. There is one class, Warlock, who can kind of combat that because they have a lot of disruption cards. And they can, like, fuck around with their combo.
Okay.
But that's just one of the class out of eight. So you definitely want other people to have those tools to sort of mess around with their combo. But, yeah, it's been fun so far. I've been enjoying it. I haven't broken down to play Druid yet to be one of those people who do the combos, but I'll probably eventually become that kind of trash.
So, how is Blizzard approaching the story? Like, is there a story behind Hearthstone?
There's no, not it's really. Not.
So, well, the reason the reason I ask is, like, there were some really big changes in World of Warcraft that set the internet on fire. Haha, look those up. I'm not going to go into them here because that's way too much explanation.
Yeah.
The question I guess I had was that, like, is Hearthstone leaning on druids so heavily because of the stuff that happened?
No. It's really just because they have a lot of different cards in their arsenal.
Oh.
They have a lot of cards that are good and that are, like, common cards.
Hmm.
So a lot of people have those cards to
just
be available to them. So you just kind of...
So it's like just an emergent design. It's not, like, tied with any lore.
Yeah, because you basically have your set cards, and these cards are in all the druid decks.
Gotcha.
Because you need those cards to survive, and then depending on what kind of combo you're trying to pull off, you have those combo cards, and that's it.
Gotcha.
There's not that much creative deck building.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess the expansion sort of tells a small, separate story.
Sure.
Like, this one is all about Dr. Boom and his crazy, wacky inventions in his laboratory and stuff like that. But that has no effect on, like, the Witchwood story or anything like that.
Sure.
They're all separate.
These are, like, separate and more focused on their own expansion.
Just, you know, being silly and stuff like that. And they don't really take that much seriousness to it. So.
Which, I can see that, because that'd be, like, trying to explore, like, the story in Heroes of the Storm. Like,
there's no real big thing.
You want to see Kerrigan fight...
Portals.
You want to see Kerrigan fight Tracer fighting Diablo? Okay.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, even with Magic, I know that there's story in Magic, but, like, I don't think it's any good. I mean...
There's books written about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, I hear that there's books, but, like...
How good are they? Yeah. Is that your question?
I don't know. I haven't read anything. I can't, like, say, per se, if it's good or not. I just hear in the grapevine that Magic the Gathering story isn't the strongest story. But, like, well, you're making this story based off a card game. So.
Well, like, we shall see how that happens since Wizards just announced, or D&D just announced the Guildmakers or Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica as part of the D&D.
Whoa.
It's a campaign setting. Yeah, they brought back Eberron in 5th edition D&D. Earlier in the year, like last year, one of the guys in charge of magic who also does some design work in D&D has been kind of as a like take home work project.
Yeah.
Taking different card sets and locations from Magic's universe and putting them in D&D. So if you wanted to run a game in Ravnica, you could.
Yeah.
Well, they actually put out a hard cut, and they were releasing them for free on their website as PDFs. And they're like 30, 40 pages, like you'd expect a campaign setting to be.
Yeah.
They put out Eberron digitally. So Eberron is now part, you can use Warforged officially in 5th edition.
Yeah.
As well as like magic tattoos and dragon marks and stuff like that. And then they're putting out in the end of September, I think, the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica. And it's going to be a hardbound campaign setting with different classes and different...
So can you be a Planeswalker?
Presumably,
Yeah, but Planeswalkers are pretty powerful. I mean... That's what technically you're playing as the character who brings his deck.
You're a planeswalker. You're probably not
who walks around
that
and
level.
Like summons things from particular planes that you've seen and using mana from particular planes.
Yeah, I would imagine that you're not like necessarily at that level, but like
maybe you're like a watered down version.
Like yeah, you're watered down, or maybe you're just. You want to run a game where your PCs are all just regular everyday people in Ravnica. Like, because it's focused on Ravnica.
Yeah.
Which apparently, I'm assuming that means that that's, like, the hands down most popular magic setting. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought Dominarius was. Yeah. I'm not sure.
No, I would have thought Innistrad. Well, maybe they didn't do Innistrad because of.
Vampires.
Ravenloft coming, or Curse of Strahd.
Werewolves.
Yeah.
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. Spooky, scary. Sorry. that's a gem for all of you folks who enjoy watching 30 Rock. You've seen that, right?
Yeah, I have.
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
Super scary.
Spooky, scary. Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. Men become our boys becoming men becoming wolves. Yeah. There you go. You didn't think it was going down this road.
Man, I did not come in here expecting a 30 Rock reference and then us both singing the lyrics separately.
Yeah, so that's me. That's Boomsday. It's fun. But what you got?
I got a couple movies. We sat and watched Evil Dead 2, which we have seen numerous times before. It's probably... Army of Darkness is different. I think I prefer Evil Dead... Well, I like them all for the same... For different reasons, rather. Evil Dead 2, basically... You'll note the 2... Meaning it's a sequel,
but it's kind of a reboot.
Really, it's a reboot.
Yeah.
They should have called it, like, Dead by Dawn or something. Because, like, the original Evil Dead was made for, like, no money. And by no money, I mean, like, $500,000, which is significant money.
Yeah, but no money when you're trying to make a movie.
Yeah. Evil Dead 2 was actually released and distributed by an actual film distribution company, De Laurentiis Production Company. I love how over-the-top violent and gonzo it is, because, like, it's slapstick on the same level of, like, Three Stooges, if Three Stooges had access to color and corn syrup.
Yeah, I mean, there's a scene where the main character fights his hand in a slapsticky sort of way.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Evil Dead 2 by now...
You should.
You should.
It's good.
It's funny. He traps his hand... under a bucket, and do you know what he puts on top of it to weigh the bucket down?
I don't remember.
He grabs a book off the shelf, and that book is A Farewell to Arms.
I get it.
It's got a bunch of stupid punny humor in it. I love it.
Also, side note, did you know that somebody's kickstarting to make the Necronomicon? So, the person's going through all, like, history and books and media and, like, piecing the small shots that people have, like, taken of their Necronomicon and putting it together to create one large Necronomicon with all of the information from all of these particular media.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah. You can kickstart it and
get your own... I, too, can summon the devil.
Get your own Necronomicon. The guy wrote that, like, he's not responsible for anything that happens if you read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to be.
Yeah.
And then the other movie that I watched, my wife got bored and got up and left.
It must be a winner.
Is Justice League.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen it?
So, I watched half of it on
The first half?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to the part where they met Flash, and I was like, Flash is kind of funny. He was like, I don't have friends. Let me join.
So, I like Justice League.
Yeah.
Unlike everyone else, apparently. I definitely would not have gone way in on trying to do the Marvel thing like DC did. Because I don't know if you saw, DC is now making the movies all separate. Yeah. Even though they've been established as being crossed over.
Yeah. And you think, like, why didn't you do that before and then surprise us with, like, crossovers?
Yeah, like, why did you lead with fucking Justice League, dude? Like, God. Batman versus Superman was the first one released as an extended universe movie.
Yeah.
Like, Man of Steel was never intended to be an extended universe.
And now they're making Aquaman.
And now they're making Aquaman and Wonder Woman 84, which both of those look entertaining.
I would say the Wonder Woman does, but yeah. I'm not sure about Aquaman.
Justice League...
Work it out.
I can tell where the edits were made, like, in terms of tone and in terms of cinematography. I can tell where the edits came in when it was Snyder versus Whedon.
Yeah. What'd you think about Cyborg? I hear that...
He didn't get nearly enough attention.
Nah.
He was just underutilized so much. Shazam looks cool.
Shazam does look cool.
He's not in this movie, but, it just occurred to me, that trailer,
Shazam
looks fucking awesome.
It's hilarious. I forgot that Shazam is actually a little kid.
Yeah, and, Billy Batson, yeah.
Yeah, and basically, like, a wizard gives him Superman's power. Like,
yeah, he's actually, like, his character's older than Superman.
Shazam's character?
Yeah, the comic. Yeah, I want to say that I read somewhere where Shazam came out a couple years before Superman, which is why his whole story is so hokey and old-timey, because he's just like, I'm a boy, and a wizard gave me powers, I can summon them with Shazam, and I turn into a big thing.
I remember his name wasn't Shazam.
It's Captain Marvel.
It's Captain Marvel, yeah. And then Marvel was like, No, you can't do that. And they're like, well, we'll just name him Shazam, because that's what he yells out all the time.
Yeah.
When he transforms.
he is Captain Marvel. But anyway,
done with Shazam. I was just saying, like, he has a lot of the similar powers of Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only when he is Shazam.
And if he's not, he's just a little kid.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's basically Big meets Superman.
Yeah. I think that's going to be and it looks funny too. It's something that they haven't really done.
Yeah.
So I look forward to that movie.
So Justice League, so Zack Snyder went so deep into Grimdark that you saw the opening scene with Wonder Woman where she's blocking those machine gun bursts?
Yeah.
That's definitely... It has to be Whedon.
Yeah.
That's so fucking goofy looking.
Yeah.
I know that they're supposed to be showing that Wonder Woman has, like, grown into her powers, but she's a fucking Amazon. Like, she's a god. She should already have access to her powers. Like, don't have her doing that stupid bullshit in that movie, because it's frankly beneath her.
Well, and we have an establishing movie.
We don't need to
see her do these things, because we've already seen it. What we need to see do cool things is, like, Cyborg.
Yeah, like, you... And don't get me wrong, like... Yeah, like, Aquaman's whole thing was, I guess I'll join.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fine.
Oh, our cube got stolen, so I guess, sure. And, like, the fight for the cube with the Amazons was pretty cool. In Atlantis kind of sucks.
So dumb.
Yeah. It was, like, two dudes guarding a thing, and that's all you see is two dudes and the lady.
You know what, the cube with the Amazon, which, that was the other thing, the establishing with the mother boxes, I liked it, and then it occurred to me, because I didn't see this in theaters, and so watching this, I knew that DC had said, okay, we're going to make them all separate now. It's like, but you just put out a movie where you see the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, you see...
Like they're some there. Helping. I like that as an establishing thing of, like, here's the Atlanteans, here's humans, here's Amazons, here's the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
The Amazon scene with Wonder Woman's mom in the mother box. It reminded me a lot of the, and I don't know when this scene was written, but it. You remember in Rogue One when they're passing off the data in the ship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what it fucking looked like.
I think Rogue One came. I don't know.
Rogue One came out first.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Justice League has been scripted. Then.
Yeah.
Who
knows?
The other thing is, who would you have the Justice League fight first?
Yeah.
Maybe. I guarantee you it wouldn't be Steppenwolf if it were up to me. It would be someone like, I don't know, Brainiac, maybe?
Yeah, he's a pop. Or just pick somebody from the League of Villains.
Yeah. Solomon Grundy might not be a good choice.
Solomon Grundy!
That might not be a good choice. I just really want to see Solomon Grundy, like, fighting with John Constantine.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen a Justice League Dark movie directed by Guillermo del Toro, which I don't know if that's happening anymore or not, but it would be cool.
Yeah.
I do recommend seeing Justice League if you like comic book movies.
I need to finish it.
Justice League, it's very much a comic book movie. Like, they're not trying to do Marvel. They're not trying to make Marvel-type movies, because Marvel makes Marvel movies.
Yeah. They're trying to do their own thing.
Yeah, like, I would argue that DC should, even if they're trying to emulate what Marvel's doing with a shared universe, that's fine, but they need to make their movies more like, maybe Justice League with some editorial reining in.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, Justice League is a balls-to-the-wall comic book movie. Like, I could see this as a collected graphic novel. Like, I could see that reading this as a graphic novel. And I think that's what a comic book movie should be. I should be able to see what's on the screen and go, yeah, I could see this as a comic.
Yeah.
I can't really see reading Iron Man, even though Iron Man Extremis is what it stole it from, or not stole it, you know what I mean, though. Adapted, I guess. Watching Iron Man 3, I can't help but see it as a Marvel movie. Like, I cannot see reading that as a comic book, because it's structured differently.
Yeah, I mean, and it's structured in a movie sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do recommend seeing it. Nice. It's fun. I liked it. I had a good time with it, even though it sounds like I'm complaining. It's just, I wouldn't go into it expecting a Marvel movie, because it's not a Marvel movie. No. It's a different type of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I
definitely need to finish it. It was all right for the couple parts that I saw. Something that I just wanted to finish, but my plane landed, so I was like, not going to finish
that. Well, again, we'll have a movie night. We'll watch Avatar and Justice League.
So, talking about watching stuff, I ended up watching a couple streams on Twitch of Evo.
Oh, cool,
so,
cool.
So, do you know...
Yeah, I know what Evo is. Yeah. It's the fighting game tournament.
So, it's the fighting game tournament that they hold in Las Vegas, actually. I missed the actual competition.
By like a day or two?
By a week, yeah. Because I was, again, in Vegas, and you guys know that from last week. And I missed it by a week. So that kind of sucks. But I got to watch a couple of the streams on their Twitch, which was really Ooh. Cool. And then I caught some highlights on YouTube. So I'm not a big fighting game player. Like, I've played some fighting games. I actually played fighting games with Richard, the previous host on here. We mainly played Super Smash Bros. 4, which was pretty cool. So I had some understanding of that, but I just really like the mechanics. I like people doing footsies, and you can understand what people are trying to do by just watching it. So there was two particular games that I watched. I watched Super Smash Bros. 4.
Okay.
And I watched Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Oh, okay.
Which was...
Is it Fighter Z or Fighters...
Fighter Z. But a lot of people would like to say Fighter Zeds. Or whatever. So Dragon Ball was super cool. Their system is very flashy. It's anime fighting. So big supers that take up the screen. I'm a big fan of Dragon Ball, so it's really cool to see, like, iconic characters fight it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of combos into other combos, and there's a lot of momentum. So, I watched the top eight, and then the finals. The finals was two guys, Sonic Fox, which is an interesting fellow. He plays a lot of weirder fighting games, but he's just kind of gone into the scene.
Okay.
He does wear his furry suit.
Oh, he's a furry?
He is a furry.
Is he a Sonic furry?
No, he's a wolf furry.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, why is his name Sonic Fox then? Neither one of those are wolves.
Or it could be a fox. It's a fox furry.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he wears his, like, actual furry suit.
Like, head, too?
He doesn't wear the head nor the gloves, so he can, like, actually play. Yeah. But yeah, he was, representing, the U.S.
Okay.
And he was playing against Goichi, a Japanese player.
I've heard of Goichi.
Yeah. Yeah. He plays, he's pretty famous. He plays a lot of, like, the main, mainstream games. Sonic Fox plays a lot of, like, these weirder games. But he's gone into Dragon Ball Z Fighters, and he's really good. So, the interesting thing was, Sonic Fox was in the runner's bracket, and he put Goichi in the loser's bracket. So, when Goichi came to play him, he had to win two sets.
Okay.
Because he was in the loser's bracket, because Sonic Fox hadn't lost a game.
Mm.
So, he would have to beat Sonic Fox twice. So, they played... And they played their first set, and Sonic Fox didn't look that great, and Goichi just basically got him.
Right.
So they were moving in, and I believe the sets are best 2 out of 3.
Okay.
So, and they, with Dragon Ball Z, it's a tag system, so you get 3 people. I believe Goichi was playing with... I can't remember. I remember he had Cell, Perfect Cell.
Okay.
But they had a couple of other people. Again, highlights are on the, on YouTube. So, Goichi beats him. So, Sonic Fox says, hey, can we do a swap? Can I be player one and you be player two? And people weren't sure what to do. They're like, that's interesting because, you know, he just wants to, like, change positions. That's it.
Yeah.
So they were talking about it. They ended up doing a coin flip.
Okay.
And again, it doesn't, like, you're playing on a high tier level, like, flipping it shouldn't be alright, but it kind of was able to, like, cool him down. He wasn't able to, like, jump right into the match, and he could sort of figure things out. And the second one ended up Sonic Fox won, so he won the whole entire thing. So he put on his little furry hat, yeah, and danced around and stuff like that. So it's funny. A lot of people, there's a bit of controversy saying, like, oh, he shouldn't have swapped places. Like, he should have stayed in Player 2 and stuff like that. But, like, Sonic Fox put Goichi in the loser's bracket. Like, yeah, he had beaten him before him. Yeah. So it's super cool that, you know, this guy's now...
Well, yeah, because like you said, if you're playing at that tier, like...
It shouldn't
affect
you.
Your position should not affect... Yeah. Like, you should be beyond that.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter, because it's inputs, it doesn't matter if you're, like, rolling to your right or rolling to your left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Then came Smash Brothers 4. So, I didn't actually watch this live, I watched the highlights on YouTube.
Can I guess what happened? There was an upset, and the Smash community lost their shit and table flipped.
The Smash community lost their shit, but it wasn't an upset.
Okay.
So, I heard top eight was... So, there were five Bayonetta players. Now, people hate Bayonetta.
Is she just a trash character that...
No, she's a fantastic... It's kind of funny because I play Bayonetta. When I was playing against Richard, I would play Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Because Bayonetta has a lot of tools. A lot of, like... And they're not flashy tools. They're just, like, solid hits. You know, she's not a big character, but she can, like, juggle you around.
Yeah.
And you can really just, like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to play because I'm going to be juggled.
Yeah.
So, the Smash community kind of hates Bayo.
Okay.
So, there are five Bayo players. I think there was one, like, Duck Hunt Dog and a couple of other things.
Duck Hunt Dog is a character that
Duck
you can
Hunt,
play
as? Yeah. Yeah.
That's
he is a character.
Weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird picks. So, it ended up the finals being two Bayo players.
Yeah.
And they were friends. They had known each other, and they respected each other's Bayo playing skills. Apparently, they had been booed the entire fight up to
That's bullshit.
Because, like, no one likes Bayo. Everybody hates Bayo.
So?
Yeah. So,
like, are they at that level playing? Then yeah. They need to keep their damn mouth shut and just watch the game.
So they had been booed. So when the match started, they both started charging up their shots.
Okay.
And they just sat there. And they started talking to each other. As time was running. And they, you know, they were talking about, like, their climb and stuff like that. And, like, people were getting angry. Because they're
good,
here.
Good, fuck them.
They're here to watch a fight. You know, they want to see the, like, a hype. But all they're doing is sitting out their stage just charging. And not moving. And they're just holding the controller and talking to each other. So.
Sometimes the smartest strategy, though, is because, let me guess what the strategy is can I do damage and then dodge your damage and then time out?
No.
Then,
no, like, they were really just kind of being childish. And they both kind of realized, hey, we are kind of... Because one of the directors had to come out and say, hey, this is collusion. Like, you're on the edge of collusion. Like, because you're two players and you have agreed to something. That's collusion. So he's like, you guys have to stop this and fight. So they do stop, and then they start fighting. And it ends up where one of the guys... Because with Smash Brothers, you can fall off the stage accidentally. Like, you input something and you fall off the stage. So he basically did a suicide. So the guy gave him basically jumped off the side, too. They gave him a homie stock. It's called a homie stock. Okay. Where he was like, oh, you didn't mean to fall off the stage? Well, why don't we, you know, I'll take off my life and we can call it even.
That's fair.
Yeah. So people were complaining about that, and it's a bad mark on the Smash community because they were all outraged because of this, and then they did the childish thing of charging up their shots for a while, and like, because they wasted a good minute.
So,
and they were running the clock, and yeah, it was a bit of collusion because they had both agreed that they weren't going to fight.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't follow the fighting game community nearly as closely as you or Richard.
Yeah.
I
mean, and it's interesting.
Everything that I see about the Smash community is that they're childish babies and they throw temper tantrums.
It's not a good community.
And they chase people out and they make fun of them and they just seem very toxic for no reason.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I would say it is kind of a toxic community.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get better, but on, like, Evo's a highly watched stage. Yeah. And it's like, you don't do that crap on, like, you're just basically sending out or broadcasting all this hate and shit and stuff like that. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to show the world this is your community.
So, yeah, like, you don't want to...
And it was on both sides. It was on both the audience side as well as the competitor side. Like, that was childish. They shouldn't be doing that. But, like, the guy shouldn't have been booing them. So, yeah.
Like, don't show your ass when it's a televised... Like...
Yeah. So it was interesting just to see that. A bunch of people have made, like, YouTube comments about it. I'm sure you can go and see that and everything.
Sure.
All this stuff has been recorded on YouTube. But I will say that Dragon Ball Z fight was super hype. Yeah, I'm glad I caught that live. Because, I mean, you can also see, like, the Twitch... like,
the viewer count?
Well, that and, like, people were talking. Like,
oh, yeah, the chat.
The chat in Twitch and... Just seeing everybody getting super hyped for, like, their Dragon Ball fighting
stuff.
So, yeah, so that's that.
Okay.
Oh, and then my third thing?
Yeah, I mean, I had one more thing, so either one of us can...
So I ended up watching Disaster Artist, which is the documentary of The Room, which is a horrible, horrible movie, but so bad it's good. It was just kind of cool to sort of see the background or just behind the scenes of Tommy Wiseau. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
it's funny to, like, because it's such a weird movie. I've gone and seen it. I remember seeing it on DVD. And then going to the Phipps Plaza and watching it in the weird, like, bring your spoons and throw your spoons and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Plaza does that.
Yeah. Too. And it's just, it was really cool to sort of see that background. I guess I didn't understand how much Mark's, the actor who played
Greg
Mark.
Greg Sestero.
Yeah. I didn't know how good of friends they were. They are, like, super good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was definitely an awkward scene between him and Lisa. Lisa, you're tearing me apart.
Yeah, like, we watched that recently, too. The I also read the book that it's based on.
Oh, I didn't know it was based on a book.
Yeah, so Greg Sestero wrote the book.
Huh.
And he kind of recounted his friendship with Tommy Wiseau and making the movie and the fallout that happened from that.
Yeah.
But
I think they're good friends now.
Oh, yeah, no, they're still good friends.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like, it's a really weird movie.
Yeah.
Especially since James Franco and his brother, Dave Franco, are playing Tommy and Greg.
Yeah.
Respectively.
And it's just, it's interesting. Yeah, they pulled in a bunch of big names for this, particular movie, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I sort of got a behind the scenes peek of it.
Yeah.
And I still wonder where he made all of his money. Who knows?
I subscribe to the theory that he is the wealthy heir to a foreign oil family.
Maybe.
Because, like,
But he's just... from But he's from New Orleans.
No, he's not.
But he keeps on saying
it. No, so, like, people have traced him, I think, to Poland.
Ah, okay.
So he's from Poland. I think there's a scene in the movie. Maybe it's in the book. Maybe it's just in the book. But one of the characters is writing a paycheck and, like, fully expecting the check to bounce.
Yeah, it's in the movie. It is
in the movie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, and the bank teller is just like...
This is an endless
like,
amount.
This is just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, you'll never have any problems pulling that.
Yeah. So that was a really good movie. I really love the room for what it is. And it's just interesting to sort of see the curtains pulled. Just a sneak peek.
Yeah.
Of what was behind the madness of the room. So, yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, no, the book it's based on is hilarious. We saw the movie a while ago, but it's...
Was the book called The Disaster Artist?
Disaster Artist, okay. Yeah.
I might have to pick that up and just see.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm sure it goes in depth with a couple of...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Greg Sestero was not... Like, the movie makes it sound like The Room was, like, his big ticket out, but, like, he had been... Like, granted, they're shitty, like, Puppet Master movies or whatever, but he had been in starring roles in movies before then.
Mm.
So, like, he had a career, and The Room just kind of derailed it. Well, yeah, was that it?
Those were my things.
Well, yeah, and my last thing is that I played through Injustice, Gods Among Us, on PS4.
Oh, yeah, the fighting game.
Yeah, it's the fighting game, the first one, not the second one.
Okay.
How
did you like it as a fighting game, the mechanics and
everything? So, I'm not super huge into fighting games. I got it mainly because it was on sale like months and months and months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin, it's comics. I love comics.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of playing through the story mode on the game. Like, I didn't try to complete it or anything because a lot of the completion trophies on it are multiplayer, and I don't like playing online with other people because that's a cesspool.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it a cesspool. I'd just say sometimes it would just, you know, be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story itself is cool. I like the comic that they use as marketing for it.
No.
It
came with a comic?
No. So Injustice 1 has 5 years. Like, so there's year one, and then, like, the comic stories, I think it's like 12 issues
mm-hmm.
that go with year one and then year two. So there's 5 years for the first game. And then I think presumably they're doing 5 years for the second game.
Oh, cool.
And it's just, it's a fun story to read. It's much more entertaining than any of the single issue or single character issues.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like all of the characters together and interacting.
Yeah.
Fighting
each other.
But yeah, no, the story is interesting. Cause basically the story is what would happen if the Joker, tricked Superman into killing Lois while she was pregnant. And then Superman decided, fuck this shit, kills the Joker and becomes like a tyrant. Yeah. Like,
interesting.
Superman is such a boring milquetoast character. Like, his weakness is becoming human.
Yeah. I mean, that's
like,
it.
Like, when he hits kryptonite, like, his weakness is becoming human. Fuck you, Superman.
Yeah.
I like it when it's like, okay, yeah, what happens when a literal god decides, nah, I'm done. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm done. This is how we're playing this now.
I remember I forget what the comic is called. But it has an alternate universe of where if Superman landed in Russia and became like...
Yeah, Red Sun.
Red Sun, yeah. And became like the champion of Russia. Where they...
Well, yeah, what happens if instead of falling in the middle of America,
he
falls into Russia, Soviet Russia?
Yeah, and then they start spreading their ideals.
Ideology?
Yeah, all over. That's a good good read right there.
Yeah. And I recommend this game. The graphics are super dated. I think it came out, in 2014? 14?
Yeah. I played Injustice 2.
Yeah, the graphics are just, they're very dated. They use the same graphics as not the first iteration of Mortal Kombat, but the latest generation of Mortal Kombat, but they haven't been cleaned up as much, because I kind of feel like NetherRealm treated it as kind of like a side project. Like, they didn't put the full processing power behind it. But it's fun. I definitely recommend that people play it. Yeah, the trophies in it, most of them are multiplayer. At higher difficulties, further in the story, as you'd expect, the difficulty is pretty steep. Like, I don't ever like playing through tutorials. I just button mash.
Yeah, so and you don't do certain, any, like, combos.
Well, no, I do, because but they, I just kind of, like, figure out as I go.
Yeah.
Because there's a difficulty curve. And this one, it's so steep that it's like, okay, I'm going to have to go through the tutorial on this character, because otherwise, like, I can't. I don't
figure out his moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good. I recommend it.
Nice.
And that's me.
All right. I guess that wraps up this me.
Yeah. Just shoot us an email if you like what we're doing. Yep. If you have suggestions for how we can be better.
Yeah.
BackrowSupershow@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. The Facebook is BackrowSupershow, four separate words. Website is listenbackrow.com, so you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can get the RSS feed from our site, or just listen to individual episodes.
Yeah.
So that's it. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
See ya.